Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen, and I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bino, Julie Hayden. This is one of those days when you're blessed to live in Colorado.
Ah, gorgeous out there.
Gorgeous out there. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. It's true straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We're going to be having our special guest, law enforcement and tech expert, Mark Poff, joining us at the bottom of the hour. And Jacob, I see you're already talking about Signal. A lot to talk about Signal-wise. And at 3:30, I want to kind of ask Mark some questions about that too. But wanted to start off, and feel free if you want to call in, 303-888. What is it? Oh, hang on, I'll get the number. If you're in chat and if you're on Zoom and you want to chat, you can. And or raise
short-term
your hand.
Memory,
yeah, short-term memory. It's like, here we go. Okay. 888. There we go. Thank you, Doug. 888-627-6008. Wanted to talk about this weekend where the Colorado State Republican Party Central Committee, both of which we are voting members.
We're bonus members.
Bonus. Well, we can vote.
That's right. That's what bonus member means.
Okay.
Bonus.
Were we extra special bonus members? I'm going to be an extra. But at any rate.
Why not? We'll make ourselves extra special bonus members.
We're all going to be electing new leadership of the Colorado Republican Party. And wanted to talk about that because, you know, we've been talking. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say the fade of grassroots Republicans is at stake in this election.
Well, you know, the Republican Party is done for in Colorado. So there's
Mr. Optimism.
All it is a corpse anyway.
No.
And I've been on the, it is, it's a corpse. You can't win statewide office. You can't win lots of things. The billionaires, all they want to do is suck up to Charlie Koch and Phil Anschutz, who are, you know, using the congressmen to take over the state party. I mean, it's all, well, it's like it's always been. I mean, but aren't you shocked? If you're shocked at all the graft that goes on in Washington, it occurs in Colorado just as much.
I disagree a little bit in terms of that. I'm glad the grassroots are in power. I think having grassroots in power, like Dave Williams, I think, you know, he fought back against the lawsuit to keep Trump off the ballot. He did he did that. I think they have filed the opt-out lawsuit. He's done what he can. He's launched an investigative committee to look into corruption So I think it does make a difference who the chair of the party is. And as always, it kind of divides down into the grassroots faction and the uniparty establishment rhino faction.
And a couple people no one's ever heard of.
And some people no one's ever heard
of. On the grassroots side, you've got Lori Sane. She's a former county commissioner, former legislator, probably the only one with real government experience. Darcy Schoening, who's...
Shaning. Who currently works with the Republican Party, isn't it?
Works in the Republican Party, and she's been a real help. And she's running, a tough campaign, a good campaign. She's gotten set back, you know. They always check into your background, and she has a few arrests, which makes it a little awkward, but, you know.
And on the establishment side?
On the establishment side. Oh, we also got Jeremy Goodall on the good side. We've had him on our program. He's also on a good guy's thing. And on the evil, amoral, degenerative side, we've got that electroshock baby, Britta Horn. She wasn't a crazy one. I just watched a replay of her with Kyle Clark. Man, he was just laughing his head off at her.
Interestingly, when she was on Kyle Clark, she does not think the election was stolen. But when she shows up at town halls, she does think it was stolen. You've got Britta Horn. You've got Kevin, the uniparty establishment side. Britta Horn, Kevin Holt,
Richard Holtorf.
And then Kevin McCarney from the Western Slope.
Who runs every time and gets 8% of the vote. But at least he gets up there and he bulls his big carcass around, and it's fun for them.
What's going to be interesting to see in this, and well, here's, I think, first why I say, even though Chuck is being pessimistic and say, I think it does matter who's elected chair. It matters a lot, and largely because of the opt-out situation. In 2016, Colorado passed the open primary law. So there are two ways to get on the Colorado Republican ballot in Colorado. One is you go through the caucus and assembly system where the grassroots voters elect you at assembly and you get listed on the primary ballot. The other way is to have rich, big money, deep pocket donors pay for you to gather signatures. You get enough signatures on a petition and you're also on the ballot. The rhino establishment people, they weasel their words around about it. We've talked about weasel rhinos, but in general, they want to, one way, shape, or form, get rid of the push to close, to liberate, as Chuck would say, to free the Colorado Republican Party so that only Republicans can vote in the primary. The reason is the Democrats and the big money donors, they've meddled in it, right? And they elect squishes, they push fake Republicans to run as Republicans, and they're not like a Kevin Priola type, right?
Right.
The rhinos, because they are controlled, hence they're rhinos, by the big money donors, they try to waffle their thing, but in the end, they would get rid of it. They would eliminate the lawsuit that's been years.
They won't say that because they always say, just like KBB, I'm all for the lawsuit. She did every
they won't
crooked
do a thing,
thing to
right.
kill it.
And the same thing with an opt-out vote. You can vote. You need both systems. And they'll be like, oh, we'll vote, but we won't vote.
Yeah.
Right? So if that happens, okay, then the Republicans, that the current effort to close the primary, to liberate the primary so that you have to be a Republican to vote in it, will go away forever.
Yeah.
And it'll continue the way it has been. And if you notice, since 2016, short of some progress that Dave Williams was able to make this time around, Republicans have lost every statewide election because the uniparty establishment candidates, all they care about is having a candidate they control. They don't really care about very much. So they put in, again, like a Joe O'Day, like a Walker Stapleton. Joe O'Day, last time around, said he wouldn't even support Trump policies, right? These people do not like Trump. They're Americans for Prosperity candidates.
George W. Bush type people.
That's right. And they will take over, as they already have, the primary system. Because, sadly, as we found out in the Dave Williams, Jeff Crank election, right, in CD5, Dave is a grassroots candidate. Jeff Crank was the Americans for Prosperity candidate. Outspent Dave roughly 20 to 1.
No,
more than that.
Okay. 100 to 1.
And
they put millions in. I mean, millions. And he had Trump's endorsement.
Right.
But you never get around somebody with absolutely
the sad reality is, because we did a show on this, kind of looking, I did some research, and the sad reality is almost always, I mean almost always, when a candidate is outspent much more than 3 to 5 to 1, they lose. You just can't beat that kind of money.
You can beat 2 to 1, you can beat even 3 to 1, but you can't beat 100 to 1 or 100 or you raise nothing and they raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's just literally almost. I mean, I guess it couldn't be
spot, but you won't win a second time. Well, and here's why. I mean, you know, if you're Americans for Prosperity, I mean, if you're the big money donors, you want certain things. So you, I mean,
well, why wouldn't you? I mean,
politics works,
I
right?
Some it's, candidate said, I'm not going to do what a donor wants me to do. I kind of go, then you won't have any donors. Donors have no reason to think that you're God's gift to the universe and want to give hundreds of thousands to you because you're such wonderfulness.
Right.
If you're going to, either you can be lucky and have your views aligned with that particular donor. We've been highly critical of Gabe Evans on the show, and I'm always harassing him at Adams County meetings and so forth. But let's face it, he would not be elected without the enormous amount of money from
Americans for Prosperity.
American Prosperity. $40 million was put in that race, and it shows. In Adams County, I mean, we won a couple seats, we won Senate 13, and all that was not the Senate 13 people, that state Senate 13, right? It was all a result of the fact that Americans in Prosperity, who are not stupid, learned how to ballot harvest, and they learned how to get out the vote. They said, no, you got to vote early so we know who to get out at the end, and they concentrated on low propensity Republican, but which helps Republicans up and down the ticket, up
Right.
and down the
Well,
ticket.
and as Dr. Donna points out, and Dr. Donna Chuck was at this meeting, she heard at CD8 that happened last night electing establishment folks. So CD8, which is Gabe Evans' congressional district, they elected new leadership there. This is Barb Kirkmeyer, Queen of the Rhinos, Weld County Territory, and they crushed the grassroots.
Oh, it was a stomping. I mean, they wouldn't agree to anything, wasn't their way. They were, oh, we don't like agenda, we're changing that. We don't like how pay kids says the ballot, we're changing that. We don't like how you're breathing, oh, we're going to change that. No, they got a new guy named Patterson. He's going to be a good guy. Not a good guy, but he's going to be an effective one for whatever cause that the rhinos want. But and they always have the somehow there's something about hefty Republican women that is, they just scream and screech. And they had a couple there that go, I don't have to do anything they said. And they're very effective. I mean,
here's the thing there about the establishment folks, because Weld County under Barb Kirkmeyer is sort of ground zero for the push to get rid of the caucus and assembly system. Now, and so CD8 has now become ground zero for the push get rid of the caucus and assembly system.
Yes.
And I go back to, why do the rhinos and the establishment want to get rid of the caucus and assembly system? Because they do not want the pesky voters, the pesky grassroots, the pesky MAGA voters having anything to say about elections. They want to be able to anoint their candidate that they pick, who will then at some point do their bidding whenever, and you always have to pay the piper. That's the way politics works, right? It's, you know, That's just the way it works. And the only way a grassroots person has a chance to get on the ballot is through the caucus and assembly system, which is why Barb Kirkmeyer and all of those rhino establishment folks in Weld County want to get rid of it. So what happened in CD8 is what they are hoping will happen at the state assembly on Saturday.
I mean, they'll try. They'll have, I forget how many bonus members they have, but like 32. But there will be like, you know, the Jacobins in the French legislature that was always going off of their heads, off of their heads.
So what I hope is
Bob Kirkmeyer and now Steve Reams, America's sheriff. Is now
Lauren Boebert.
Those two are snuggling up to each other. And, you know, she's always looking for some broad-shouldered person to grope, but boy. I mean, those two were lovebirds on the radio.
Well, and again, these are people who were opposed to letting grassroots PCP, Trump supporting volunteers into Weld County. We've talked about that. So at the state assembly, here's what's likely to happen. Whoever wins to be the chair needs to have a majority. It is unlikely, given previous years, that either side is going to have a majority.
But you never know for sure. Because the year which Ryan Call won, everybody said this will go into the midnight, and Ryan Call won overwhelmingly. So, you know, it's only a 520 person pool, and it can.
Yeah. And what we hope is that for the, on the grassroots side, that if in the first round or two of voting, it becomes clear that one candidate has more support than the other, that the other grassroots candidates get behind the leading grassroots candidates.
And the only thing I can assure you is that's not going to happen. They now hate each other. Even the grassroots side all hate each other, so it's a hate fest, and therefore it'll be fun, interesting, and good. KOA, or rather 710, we're going to have Rich Wyatt as a reporter, but I guess Steve Reams didn't like that, so so it's going to be him.
Oh, so they're already
They're Rich is all of a sudden
they will not.
Sheriff Reams is all of a sudden going to report in.
They are not going to allow fair and balanced media coverage. But we won't be reporting there because we'll be voting, but we will give you the straight scoop, which is what we're giving you now, right? I want to bring this up too, because this came out about Brittlehorn, and this is how important this election is. So and Rhino Watch is talking about this there today, so there's more there. And you can hear some of these actual audio. So Brittlehorn supporters were conspiring so she's the uniparty rhino kind of leading candidate.
World's ugliest looking candidate.
Let's tell the truth straight up. I disagree with that kind of tactic, but at any rate,
well, they don't call two truths up, say truth, but no, let's not get too straight up.
She and her supporters, I guess I should say, were conspiring to essentially interfere with the election by setting up a fake spoiler candidate. And then, because there is no honor among thieves, when the fake spoiler candidate, Daniel Neuschwanger, stabbed him in the back, they actually revealed this. They revealed their own plot. So here's the detail. So Natalie Tennant, who is, she's pretty active on Facebook, and she's openly a Britta Horn supporter. So Daniel Neuschwanger, and I don't know who reached out to who, but these phone conversations, Daniel Neuschwanger, who ran unsuccessfully for governor and is now on Richard Holtorf's slate for a vice chair candidate, was saying to Natalie, hey, look, I'm not going to run for chair. I have no intention of running for chair, but I'm going to pretend that I'm running for chair and let the rumors swirl in order to distract the grassroots voters. I want to distract the Dave Williams people. I want to split the vote. I want them to think they have to split the vote. And she's,
because the grassroots loves her so much.
But yeah, I don't know. That's a little bit of self-aggrandization, I think. But so, and she's saying that will leave Britta free to run around and do her Britta thing, and everyone's going to be focusing on this grass and Daniel Neuschwanger and the grassroots thing. I mean, it's like, so right away she's saying, I have no intention of running. I'm going to be a fake candidate. Keep in mind, this is the same group of people who had the fake coup meeting and who had the fake vote
for
chair.
They're big
on fake stuff, right? And so anyway, so they set up a fake candidate. I mean, that was going to be Daniel Neuschwanger, who was going to run. And Natalie Tennant is saying, a Britta supporter, hey, I want to get Britta elected. I don't care what it takes. I know that people are going to say, hey, this is kind of a sleazy backdoor thing. I don't care. It's smart and it's strategic. Well, I would say it's not. It's disgraceful. That's a page out of the Democrat playbook, right? Where they run fake candidates to split the vote and take the vote away, rather than winning.
Well, then she said to go for the vice chair and support buckwheat. And people say, why do they call him buckwheat? And so if you don't know, they were down at the Capitol in legislative session, and a black representative from the Democratic Party, and Richard Holtorf was...
He just made some comment about... Ken DeGraff is here to join us.
Oh, well, we have Ken in.
Okay.
He can tell us why they call him buckwheat.
Okay, Representative Ken DeGraff.
Why do they call him buckwheat there, Ken?
Let's get him on the show. Hey, Ken, thank you. Are you there somewhere? Thank you for your time. Go ahead and unmute yourself and turn on your camera if you want. Are you there?
See. I see mute. There we go.
All right.
And
so
now we see you.
The first question is, why do people call Holtorf buckwheat?
That I do not know. My history does not.
He was down giving some testimony. A black representative from Denver said, "Well, wait a minute, I have a question here." And he said, "Hold on, buckwheat," and the whole world exploded. Him calling the black representative buckwheat, and then he went into explanation. Where I come from, buckwheat is a fine, upstanding. It's a term of endearment. Nobody bought it, but ever since then, he's called
Buckley. Like, we want
to. That's not a side. I mean, we're trying to educate our recent people. I mean,
well, I'm talk to Ken. Ken, so I hope you don't have any stickers that are on your computer.
No two-way stickers.
Spence, you made national news with this. You, once again, the Democrats and their fair and open-minded, encouraging opinions of all sides. You can't say groomer. Apparently, you can't have Constitution stickers on your thing. Tell us about this latest nonsense. But, I mean, they're just going berserk down there, the Democrats.
Yeah, like when we started, I wasn't really sure whether the Democrats were going to tone things down or whether they were going to let the crazy fly. And I think the crazy's flying down there, kind of like the witches on, All Hallows Eve, so on Halloween, that's the I guess the narrative. And it's just craziness. And this SB003 is just one example. And then, I have a sticker on there. It's an RMGO sticker on my iPad. And then I didn't really ever think about it being that visible from the camera. And then so they said, well, you need to cover that up. So I was like, well, I'll put some. So I just wrote on there the sticker. I have it around here someplace, but that, shall not be infringed and signed two-way. And I thought, well, that's non-political speech. And then they said it was political speech. So I covered it up with, you know, like, all right, well, I'm not getting into this battle. So I covered it up with something like this. Just
that's political.
Yeah, exactly. But then when I went up to the well, the sticker fell off.
Oh, no.
And so somebody brought it up to me and said, well, and then so I thought, well, I'll take this opportunity and I'll explain to them why I have this smiley sticker on there that's covering my shall not be infringed, which is covering up my, you know, covering up the sticker for RMGO. So, yeah, I thought, well, that's, you know, a little bit of levity there that I, that, you know, they don't want the 2A shall not be infringed sticker, or note, it wasn't really a sticker, just a sticky note, and that they don't want that on there. And then all of a sudden I'm starting to get text and saying, hey, you're like the number one story on Fox News. So yeah. And Libs on TikTok. Libs on TikTok, I think, picked it up first. And then and it was climbing. It was climbing rapidly. So
that's great. Man,
so that's kind of like 2 million people now that have that I think have a better idea of the race and the lunacy that we're going against here. There were some detractors, which was kind of funny, but, you know, overall, very, I'd say, you know, million to one of positive.
Well, it is like the Constitution and all. I mean, that's not.
That's hate speech.
That's
Constitution hate speech.
Spencer noted, he's a national columnist. He wrote about it on PJ Media. He's like, well, what about, he said, you guys had that crazy, insane communist guy, Tim Hernandez, who had like the Palestinian flag on his desk. And somehow that's okay. That's not political. You can do that, right? But you can't have the Second Amendment or a reference to the Constitution on your laptop. I mean, how is it that they got there, and what is it that they think they're achieving there by being that berserk?
Well, they don't think they're being berserk. I think it's just just human nature. One thing I've really enjoyed reading recently is Bastiat on the called The Law, and he talks about the socialists and the social engineers and just the idea of, you know, groups of people that just feel they're just anointed to solve all the problems. So, you know, I refer to them as overtrophied narcissists. You know, they're the ones that believe that, you know, that they are as special as mommy told them and that they can make the world a better place. And that's good. I mean, we should all try to, but, you know, we have a set of parameters. We have a set of rules for the game, which is our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. And inside that box, inside that framework, we can have government act without lapsing into tyranny. And, you know, we have people that don't want to think so much, and they just want government to be the easy answer. They always want government to be the easy answer. I think they just think if they can put their spin on it, if they can put their, you know, they can put the solution in there, then, you know, the world will be a better place. And they just, you know, it's not factoring in human nature. It's not factoring in the Constitution. It's not factoring. It's very ignorant of history. It's very ignorant of history. And, you know, they feel like the good intentions will rule the day, that they can, you know, that there's something that, well, today, one of the legislators referred to a bill that they were trying to fix from last year, a better bill, and just saying, well, the will of this body was not, you know, properly affected. And I, you know, of course, your will is not that they did not impose their will. And she said, well, you twisted my words. It's like, well, saying your will is not taking on, you know, since our will wasn't taken on voluntarily, we're going to impose it now. It's like that's imposing your will. I mean, yeah. Just to be able to say we would like to have you do what we want, but voluntarily. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do it voluntarily, yeah, then we're going to make you do it.
Well, so, let me, you know.
Well, are you going to be down in Pueblo on Saturday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you have a favorite candidate?
I'm working through that right now. Yeah, I'm really happy that we have some. I'm really happy that we have some good candidates to make the choice more difficult. So,
okay.
Well, that's a political answer. Okay.
It's not a political answer.
We have no high ground to stand on. That's our answer too. So just to so you know, so we're not. Let me. I want to go back to the Senate Bill 03, because, you know, the last time the Democrats for a while, the last time they tried massive overreaching gun legislation, it backfired and there were recalls. But these are different days and they don't seem to be worried now. I mean, talk a little bit about, because we haven't really covered it, but it looks like it's on the verge of passing this gun grabbing bill. What's the status of that and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, there's obviously a lot of political speculation behind it, and the bill is as broad-reaching as it we're saying it is. It's not going as far as they want. It was dialed back. It was interesting. One of the things, you know, like a comparison on Grok, the AI tool, and it. You know, for an analysis and comparison, and it said, hey, this, you know, the bill was toned down to appease their more moderate Democrats. And it's like, well, I don't think there's any actual moderate Democrats.
Yeah, who are that? Who's that person? Where's yeah. that person sitting?
Yeah, exactly. There are those that are, you know, pragmatic about, you know, gun rights. And then even a pro-gun Democrat, a pro-gun somebody who says they're pro-gun is very different than saying they're pro-Second Amendment. Pro-Second Amendment and pro-gun are very different things. So where this is going to go, I don't know. But what it is it's not a final bill. So even if it passes, you know, it is just a step. When you listen to the representatives talking, they say they don't say a gas-powered semi-automatic weapon with 15 round clip is uniquely dangerous. They say a semi-automatic weapon is uniquely dangerous. And so, you know, they're going after all of them. What they did in this bill is they just kind of carved out a certain category, gas powered. And of course they're all gas powered, whether they're, you know, whether it's a blowback mechanism or a gas powered. The gas powered is just corresponds to like the AR-15. So this is just them going after the AR-15 with a by trying to hone it in, and then, you know, and then saying that somehow the gas powered, you know, breaching mechanism is more uniquely dangerous to the blowback mechanism. It's disingenuous, and it's just a step, because then what it does is it gives basically the people who collect taxes, gives them the authority to continue and expand it. Like they can meet next year and then go, you know what, we think it's going to include the blowback mechanisms, just to it's a bill that has it focuses this year on, well, greater than 15 round magazines and then the gas powered, but it's designed and the language is clearly to incorporate more on a yearly basis without going through the legislation.
What about one of our listeners has noted that, you know, the Democrat Party approval rating on a national level is only like 30%, lowest ever. Do the Colorado Democrats get any, do they, like you said, they're like over-trophied narcissists. I mean, do they have any sense that some of this stuff they're pushing through is starting to be a little bit much on people, or do they
care? I think so. I mean, they have the theater of making it a close vote, but, you know, this is ultimately comes down to the Republican Party. And, you know, the great thing about Republicans is that we don't see government as the solution to anything. You know, we know that there's no problem that the government can't make worse with a solution. And that's also the problem with the Republican Party, because Republicans are not prone to get involved in politics, and Democrats know it. The Democrats want to be there. You talk to them and they just love it there. They are making, you know, they feel like they're making a difference. They're making the world a better place. They're building their totalitopia. And once they have full control of everything, you know, the world will just be, you know, all kumbaya. And the Republicans are more like, we have to be here to try to, you know, we want to make good policy, but also to save from the Democrats. Like,
right.
You know, I told one the other day, it's like with my grandson, it's like, yeah, he's the reason I don't want to, more reason I don't want to be here, and more reason I have to be here, because I need to save him from you.
Exactly.
And they don't see it. They see themselves as building this, just, you know, everything will be great when they have more power.
Tell me how this works down to legislators. So the Democrats come up with a uniquely awful piece of legislation.
Not uniquely. They have lots of awful.
No, but uniquely bad. And then they go out in the hallway and do all the Republicans have will work for food signs on them. And then they go up to him and say, I need you to co-sponsor
this particularly
hideous bill. And there's always some taker. The legislatures go, oh, yeah. Will you take the children away from the parents and castrate them? Yeah, I'll sign on. I want to be the Republican co-signer.
I think we're better at that this year I haven't really followed it, but, people not getting on Democrat bills, and sometimes they try to get on the bill to try to make it better. Sometimes, that's a common
Auschwitz
thing.
And working on the oven. It's like going to Auschwitz and improving the oven.
Now they're going to call us Hitler.
Yeah. No, but I agree. We need to be very careful about what legislation is supported. What legislation is co-signed? Co-sponsored? And a great thing is that the Republican Party is paying attention now on the bills like SB 03. There's a level of political calculus. Like I said, they dialed it back because they want to get what they consider good legislation, we consider bad legislation. So they want to get this heinous legislation through. But they only want to push it as far as will get them unelected. So I think they kind of watch on the Republican side to see what keeps them on the couch, and that's up to the Republicans. I hear from the Republicans are like, yeah, I just don't want to get in politics, and I'm just turned off by that whole mess. And they're like, well, yeah, me too. I don't want to be here. But it's like you need to be in politics. I mean, if you don't know where the swamp is, look down. You're standing in it. It's your school board. It's your library board. It's your, metro district. Look down. You're in it. And we need people that are, I think things change when we're more interested in our future than pop culture and sports scores. So, we need people to get involved. Look who's in the legislature. It's not like it's a high bar. It's, we need people of integrity. We need people first and
that,
foremost.
That excludes 95% of the legislature, right? No. Right there.
What's that?
Integrity.
No. Yeah.
With integrity. You can't get, it's almost... You're an exception along with seven other people down there.
Hey, listen, Ken, let me give, because we have to let you go. We have another guest coming up. I want to just kind of give you a final word because I know you've been slamming. We've been trying to get you on for like 2 weeks. You're like, oh, busy, oh, testifying, busy.
What?
Anything going on there? Kind of a final word you want folks to know that you're keeping an eye on,
that
you're kind of pushing?
We should be horrified with in particular.
Well, I have my energy bill. I'm trying to work on that. But next week I'll also have, it's 1067, 25-1067 on criminal asset forfeiture. And that's been a very interesting one because it's one, I've been invited for 6 months now, the opposite, people that are opposed to it and saying, well, tell me how this, what we're trying to do is we're trying to codify things in a, in best practice. We're trying to make innocent owners a priority, trying to make sure that, that people aren't losing property without, without due process and make sure that they have representation. And we have the county, the district attorneys, they're opposed to it. And the police are opposed to it. It's like, and because of that, the governor's opposed to it, which is really unfortunate because, the governor's, what we're supposed to be doing there, what we took an oath to is, the Declaration of Independence, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. We're supposed to secure the rights of these individuals, the right to property, without without being deprived under due process. And we have legislatures and legislators that are okay with that property being deprived without due process. So
it is amazing. Wait a minute. It is amazing how that crosses party lines.
It does. It does. And some of it is
one bill that you'll see, X number of Republicans supporting it because they support law and order or something, or they have a cousin who sells the stuff on the black market. And then you have some Democrats who are opposed to it. But it really does It's a fascinating
And actually,
look at it.
I know a little bit. Years ago when I was at the TV station, I did a whole series of investigative reports on this and found that at least on the law enforcement side, that on the cop side, an enormous amount of the money that they seize goes to make gyms at District 2 police headquarters, right? Goes to, they seize, literally there would be cases where they would see a drug dealer car, they would
really like,
and they would take, then 2 weeks later, the cop would be driving the car, right? And then I saw cases where they would, like you said, because they're two separate proceedings. You have the criminal proceeding, and then you have the civil forfeiture proceeding,
which
right?
is nothing and no rights.
Be many cases I found where they were seizing the civil assets, seizing the assets in a civil forfeiture case, and then the criminal case would go away for whatever reason, right?
Yeah.
So they weren't even waiting
we
for the
need
person.
Doge. We need Elon Musk to go over the criminal assets for us.
Indeed, we do.
And I know we're going to have a former cop, Mark Poff, on here in a second.
Well, it's his fault. We'll get. Yeah. What car are you driving, Mark?
Their slush fund.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was insane the stuff they were doing. So good job pushing that through.
Trying to, yes.
And I know some Democrats, I was told by one, Espinosa, I'll probably be a no. And it's like, well, tell me why you think it's a no. I've been asking these people for 6 months to weigh in and tell me how this would hinder their ability to, to do law enforcement. Because if you look at Culley versus Marshall, I mean, there's a very good, I mean, that five of nine justices make a very good case as to why we should get rid of civil asset forfeiture entirely.
Yes.
And, it's like, well, I'm not just saying get rid of it. We're just saying, hey, let's codify your best practices.
Let's get
our
rid of it.
But
it's like your other bills. It's like the gun owner bill. If you can't get rid of it, then let's just try to regulate it so it isn't quite as crooked as it appears on the surface.
Hey, listen, Ken, we need to let you go. I thank you for your time.
Yeah,
I
you've been
appreciate
great.
It so
been
much.
Great.
And thank you. We'll have you on again as soon as you can squeeze us in.
And,
okay.
And good luck. Good luck on Saturday. Hope you as you. Going through them and weighing all the different ones, you find one that's for the opt out, and that would be one of my criteria. And
opt out is I'm still a big fan of that. What do they call it? Oh, the Bonnewell Amendment. Yep, still a big fan. Still a big fan.
Yeah. Ken, thank you so
thank
much.
You,
I appreciate your time.
Take care.
Excellent. Take care. Thank you.
All right. And now I see we do have Mark Poff on. Mark, we've been taking your name in vain. If you want to go ahead.
How'd you get your car anyway, Mark? Did you get it as part of some civil asset forfeiture deal?
I always wanted the oldest car because I always wanted to do a Dukes of Hazzard with my patrol car, which I did do. Finally, at one point, I got it completely airborne. And because it was so old, no one gave me a hard time. But I do remember going down to Fleet one time, and they were working on a Dodge Viper.
Ooh,
and I said, how on earth can you guys be working on a Dodge Viper? And they said, oh, we took this on a seizure.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I want this to be my next undercover car. But they ended up auctioning that off and taking the money. But there is
what
so
did they
much
do with
money.
The money? And what did they do with the money? Well, they bought drugs. Come on, tell us. They bought drugs.
You know, it's interesting because on Friday, I want to talk about a FOIA request that I submitted 5 years ago, and I just got the answer back. Actually, it's longer than that. I'll give you the whole details on Friday. I went through the Department of Justice and asked for this information. It took them years, I mean, literally years to get this information. And how ironic that right after Trump takes office and he's like, let's lay off all the lazy people.
Yeah.
Sudden, the FOIA requests at DOJ start happening. Yeah. So I got this request back and it actually is about the federal seizure program where they do this revenue sharing. And the fact it appears from what I'm reading, and they've kept this secret because when they first asked about it way back when, the sheriff's office said, oh, it's no big deal. It's just an administrative thing. But it looks like from the documents that I got that the sheriff's office had to pay back $500,000. So I'll talk about that a little on Friday, but I never saw any of that money.
No, no, of course not. Of course not.
My kids did when they went to college.
Their college fund was Well, it's fully supplemented, but
well, and what Mark's talking about is he's going to be filling in for us Friday. We're going to be down in Colorado Springs, not in
for
public.
Steve Bannon.
Yeah, for the Steve.
Steve
Bannon.
Said we got to have the Chuck and Julie show. We got to meet Chuck and Julie. I need to consult with them. I need to talk with them. I need to huddle with them.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe that's maybe they not. Said. Maybe they said we want 250 from both of you each, and then you can be in the same room as he's in.
Only he won't be there at the time.
Yeah, he won't be there.
But, you know, I wanted to ask you, because so that's great. That sounds really interesting on Friday. But I wanted to ask you about this whole Signal thing, because you're kind of like the tech guy. You've been
our tech guy. You are our tech guy.
So yep. We've got, you know, Mike Walls was kind of explaining. Well, actually, let me kind of have him do that. Doug, do we have the mic, the Signal soundbite? Can we play that?
I can tell you for 100%, I don't know this guy. I know him by his horrible reputation, and he really is the bottom scum of journalists. And I know him in the sense that he hates the president, but I don't text him. He wasn't on my phone, and we're going to figure out how this happened.
So you don't know what staffer is responsible for this right now?
Well, look, a staffer wasn't responsible, and look, I take full responsibility. I built the group. My job is to make sure everything's coordinated.
But how did the number? I mean, I don't mean to be pedantic here, but how did the number?
Have you ever had somebody's contact that shows their name, and then you have somebody else's number there?
Oh, I never make those mistakes.
Right? You've got somebody else's number on someone else's contact, so of course I didn't see this loser in the group. It looked like someone else. Now, whether he did it deliberately or it happened in some other technical mean is something we're trying to figure out.
So a staffer did not put his contact information.
No, how did it end up in your phone? That's what we're trying to figure out.
Okay, but that's a pretty big problem.
We've got the best technical minds, right?
That's disturbing.
And that's where, I mean, I'm sure everybody out there has had a contact where it was said one person and then a different phone number.
But you've never talked to him before, so how's the number on your phone? I mean, I'm not an expert in any of this, but it's just curious. How's the number on your phone?
Well, if you have somebody else's contact and then it gets sucked in.
Was there someone else supposed to be on the chat that wasn't on the chat that you thought was
on the person
chat?
That I thought was on there was never on there.
Was that person?
Well, I'm not. Look, okay. Laura, I take responsibility. I built the group.
So, Mark, I am very suspicious about all of this. I mean, number one, I've had people send me contacts, blah, blah, blah. It seems to me that somebody had to intentionally put Julie Bonniewell, but then put Chuck's phone number in my... That's you don't accidentally
inadvertently put the worst reporter on the Atlantic magazine on there.
First off, he probably didn't build the group.
Right.
I mean, he has a staffer who did it because they're all talking about... You know, a staffer did it, and he goes, "Well, I'm taking responsibility because I built it." But you definitely, and this is one of the things that I always try to argue in court, is that just because you look at a contact list and it says Chuck, doesn't mean it's Chuck. And I used to, for the longest time, used to have a contact, and I may still have it on my phone, called Joe Biden, and I have Joe Biden on my phone. Hey, for a good time. You know, you want to hook up with Joe Biden. And I could have a contact, you know, Jasmine Crockett, you know, or whatever, Lauren Boebert. You know, I've been wanting to go to
that's
a movie.
She's available.
I mean, they're going to figure this out. I mean, this isn't a big mystery that somebody put a phone number in there that was not the person that it was supposed to be. Now, the odds of someone saying, well, I just typoed someone's cell phone number and it came out to be this guy is one in a bazillion.
Yeah.
Right. So there's nefarious stuff going on in their staff, and they'll probably be announcing at some point that somebody no longer works for this organization.
Yes. Yeah, I guarantee you won't know about it. You won't know why that person's gone.
You've
heard the
or
last
not.
Of it.
Oh, maybe.
Once they announce who leaked the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that person, they'll also identify who was smart enough to change the names on it.
But well, there's a company you can contact called the Clintons, and they're good at taking care of people and making them disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, w- was reading a thing, and because I wanted to ask you one more thing about the signal thing, but it was a joke, but it seems somewhat kind of funny. It said the CIA actually set this up because they don't want them to use signal anymore because they can't monitor signal. So they want to force them off of signal.
It worked. Yeah. It worked. I mean, they're not going to be using signal. My one of the first things my wife said to me, she goes, I think they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, just to leak it to say, look what we can do, you know. And,
yeah, you want to screw it up, watch.
Well, I mean, who brought signal into the game? It was the Bidens. Because Hunter was tired of everyone reading his, you know, his text messages. So he says, Dad, you need to get everybody signal and let me get in on this so we can encrypt everything. But what they did was stupid. And also what they did was very immature. You know, texting back and forth, you know, talking trash. I get it. Cops used to do this all the time. And I'm like, guys, you're stupid.
Right. Until they get exposed in court and then they quit doing it.
I mean, you can get cored and all of a sudden all your trash talk and you're talking about, we actually had a detective one time that he was talking about the fact that the parents were calling in because their daughter was missing. And he actually said, and it was recorded, who gives a crap about a crack whore whatever? And she ended up being dead. And you know, so you got to be sensitive. So I think you're right. I think signal is a thing of the past. And they don't need to be texting back and forth about, you know, hey, we just crushed Yemen or whatever.
Yeah. No, I agree. It was this, and a couple comments from Jacob. He says it happens all the time in Facebook Messenger when someone you know messages you, and then it turns out they want to suck you into sending money. And then he points out Mayor Johnston used Signal. Well, and also you're the tech expert. Sort of a final question of this is nothing is truly impenetrable, really, right? I mean, I think Tucker Carlson said they were able to, somebody hacked into his Signal stuff, right? I mean, if you know, and I would imagine the NSA. I don't think, I mean, to me, if it's really something I really, really, really don't want someone else to know, like have an in-person conversation.
And even then, don't do that.
And even then, yeah.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely correct. As soon as you think that something, you know, can't be penetrated, it is. You know, the iPhones, it's this constant game going back and forth. Remember the thing about the iPhone on the West Coast and the FBI wanted iPhone or Apple to get in. They still wouldn't do it. Well, then there was this company called Gray Key that actually found a way to break into it. And now Apple's all pissed off that they figured it out. And now Apple is putting new stuff in a future iOS release to try to shut down the loophole that they're using and blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing, which came first, the radar gun or the radar detector. You know, they're both... how it works, you know, once you develop something, someone develops something even better, and then you just keep going back and forth, which also leads into Friday, because I'm going to be talking about the right to privacy and how the cops can monitor you with all kinds of stuff on cell phones and all kinds of stuff.
Does anybody believe they have privacy anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, no. I assume I don't. I mean, whatever I say anything, do anything, I assume that it's potentially can and will be used against me.
When you walk out of your house, your privacy's over.
In the middle of your house, your privacy.
Well, if you have Alexa and all kinds of these other systems in your house, I mean, you're absolutely. And then, you know, I stayed at an Airbnb when I was down in Phoenix for a few weeks, and they had that crap in every room. And I'm thinking, man, are they listening to everything that I'm saying?
Of course they are. Yeah.
You know?
They're making sure you're not stealing their stuff. Or then they're going to sell it to somebody on the internet, too.
So. Yeah, you have to figure out some really obscure Native American language no one's ever depicted
before. You need to do, and that's a great topic, Mark, for Friday, is you just need to be aware that there isn't. And so you just want to, like Hunter Biden, learn the hard way. You know, if you're going to be doing drugs with prostitutes and all this other kind of stuff, don't record it. You know,
that's bad.
It's easy. It's easy to say, but anybody who's ever watched anybody, you know, you can have these reality things and this reality, you know, and they're doing stuff that they wouldn't want any, but they just forget that there's this
camera
on them 20, and it's very hard to control your whole life. I mean, I had one guy who had a WhatsApp thing. And so he decided to send a racist joke that was just, you know,
inappropriate
in 1950, but it's super inappropriate now. And so we're all sitting there, how do we get rid of this thing?
It's your phone, right?
Yeah. I mean, how do I?
You're not getting rid of it. You know, years ago, I was working a case out in Burlington, Colorado. Little courthouse. Sheriff really didn't like me because I served him some paperwork and stuff. So I was outside on a case where we got all not guilty. So we kicked their ass. And we're sitting outside before they opened up the courthouse. And I'm talking to the client. And then we go inside and then they're getting ready to get started. And the prosecutor said, Your Honor, we'd like to take like a 15-minute break. We want to look at some video from outside the courthouse to see if there's stuff that might potentially help our case. So they noticed they were watching him and I talk on these cameras outside the courthouse. So they wanted to retrieve the video to see what we were talking about. Well, guess what? His uncle was taking care of my cattle. So we were talking about cattle.
Oh, that was just code words. That was just code words.
Yeah, cattle, prostitution, cattle, prostitution. I mean, but I mean, that's the kind of stuff where this whole lack of privacy of, you know, and also the end justifies the means.
Right.
You know, yes. I don't care. You know, should they have actually said, you know what? He's talking to the client outside, you know, let's let it go. You know, but they're like, no, there's no expectation of privacy outside. Let's see what they were talking about.
That's crazy.
So we're going to talk about a whole bunch of that stuff on Friday. I'm going to get a little political about Teslas. I love that. you really know who the crazies are when they can turn on Tesla like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're blowing all these Teslas up.
They're on people.
You know who the crazies are. We never were, you know, conservatives were never, they didn't give a crap about a Tesla. They're just like, dude, if you want an electric car, go get an electric car. Who cares? You know, but it shows who the crazies are, and so we'll have a good time on Friday.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, Mark, thank you for that, and thank you for your time today.
Yeah, it's been great.
We'll see you on Friday.
And we'll report back, you know, what Steve Bannon was able to glean from our advice. Or we'll be on the War Room Monday, one of the two.
Thank you. Nice. We'll see you later.
Take care, Mark.
All right, see ya.
Thanks to Ken DeGraff, too. Bye, everybody on Zoom. We will see you on Monday. Mark has a great show.
Got a great show, and we'll give you the insight from down there, all the dirty.
On Monday.
It's going to be a civil war, and you won't want to miss it.
All right. We'll see you later, everybody.
Bye-bye, everyone.